This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3336 for Monday, the 17th of May 2021. Today's show is entitled HPR 2020, 2021 New Year's Eve Show Episode 1. It is hosted by Hunky Magoo and is about 104 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, the HPR community stops by for a chat.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am alive and kicking. Just more than could be said for a lot of people, I guess.
Right.
How are you keeping all healthy?
Yeah, we've been doing pretty good. You guys?
Yeah. My wife is responsible for some care homes. Yesterday there were 6 in full contamination mode, and this morning there are 10. It's not going good. Thankfully, nobody's too sick yet.
That's good. Now, have you been on full lockdown mode?
Yeah, we're on the Dutch definition of full lockdown, which is you can still go out and stuff, but the shops are shut except for food essential products.
Oh, really? All the shops are shut down?
Yeah.
We had that for a little while, and then they slowly kind of reopened a lot of stuff back up.
Yeah, we had that at the beginning of the year, and then it was open, and then it went. They were around the Christmas. We celebrate the kids' Christmas around the 5th of December, and then there was a lot of spreading events as a result of that, and the fact that it's winter and more people are traveling and more people are inside, and also the fact that people are sick to death of literally sick of being in the house. So there's not as much compliance as there was in the first lockdown. But there you go. I think it's going to get pretty bad here in the new year before it gets worse.
Oh, yeah.
Before it gets better, yeah.
How are people coming along with it, though? I mean, one of the things that we've kind of noticed is that I've known people to get it, and then a lot of people... There seems to be a larger number of people who are kind of asymptomatic right now as opposed to at first. When then, I feel like a lot of the people who were more susceptible to it already got it. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people who are getting it now are able to shed it a lot faster than a lot of people who got it at the beginning, or at least it doesn't seem as doom and gloom as it did at the beginning.
I think that's actually just a matter of a few weeks. We might change our ideas of that. My brother-in-law's parents are both not doing well after surviving the first ones, yeah.
Really? They had gotten it, and then they've gotten it earlier, and then they got it again?
No, they managed to avoid it before.
Oh, okay.
This new strain coming out of the UK is, not blaming the UK or anything, at least they identified it, seems to be a lot more, the chances of contagion seems to be a lot higher,
right?
Particularly in kids under 15.
Did you call them kids under 50?
Kids under 15, 1-5.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, get off my lawn, you kids.
Oh, it's early.
So what time's it there?
4:43 in the morning.
What the hell are you doing up?
Starting this.
Very good, very good. I still have to work today, so I'll be doing a bit of that.
I try to take vacation between Christmas and New Year's, and the way that Christmas fell this year, I had Saturday as my day off, so my whole week restarted, so I have another 3 more days of vacation.
Oh, very nice. 14 minutes left.
So have you been working remote during all of this?
Yep.
And your kids have all been schooling from home?
On the initial lockdown, yes. Hold on, I need to find my phone. And then they went back to school during the summer. And just before Christmas, there were schools were also shut. And also, if what they say about this new virus is true, our new variant, I don't think they'll be going back until the vaccination programs have rolled out.
My daughter finished off last semester, working remote. And then she started off this year actually going. And then right before winter break, they had them go remote the last week before winter break. And apparently they were supposed to, was it next week on Monday, they were supposed to go back to going into school. And we've just found out the other day that they're going to be remote for that first week and maybe more after that.
Yeah. My daughter was on, so the secondary schools were like full whack. One school had it where the kids just walked into their room, stayed in their room, and the teachers moved around. The other school, the kids moved around, like there was no change. And then my daughter's in third level, so she has 2 days a week remote, one day in school. They have an ex-church, an old church that used to be part of the thing. So the class is able to fit in there and they get lectures there. And then she has her work experience is still going ahead, so that's fine.
Well, she's getting out of the house at least.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that idea where they just keep them in the one classroom and then they kind of rotate the teachers around kind of seems... It seems like a good idea. I mean, everything that was explained
logical,
to me.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, everything that was explained to me that, you know, they basically eat their lunch at their desk and stuff like that. Then they do. My daughter did like a little bit of recess and stuff, but there wasn't, you know, there wasn't much actual interaction. But she got. My daughter's 8 years old. She's just in third grade. She kind of needs that human interaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of weird the way that in some countries they've like pods of four or five kids, and that's the only kids they're allowed to socialize with. I think they're doing that in Ireland as well. But you also don't see the numbers necessarily going up or down. Yeah, it's going to be a statistician's playground now with all the numbers for this.
Yeah.
And what seems to work in one country doesn't necessarily seem to work in another. It's kind of weird. So this year we're going to be talking about COVID instead of guns and guns. What do we normally talk about on the HBR show?
Guns, food,
guns and beer.
Yeah.
Good old 5150. May you rest in peace. Huh?
Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's such a weird thing that, you know, I don't feel a lot of people grasp, at least not in this country, that this is a worldwide thing that's going on. It's not something that's centralized just to, you know, their state, region, you know, town, yeah, whatever. It's this is a worldwide thing that's going on and everybody is going through it.
Yep, absolutely. United we stand.
Yeah.
But it has highlighted to me a lot of just things that I would have assumed were part of the general knowledge of a nation, particularly with, for example, people's inability to interpret a bell curve. That has amazed me. People's lack of understanding in how vaccines work, even at the broadest sense that, yeah, even if you get vaccinated, you're still going to be carrying around the virus to other people. So, you know, it's not a free-for-all for you. Just simple things that seem logical to me seem to, and the just, you know, deniers. I struggle with that. I struggle with that.
Do you get that in your country?
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's not. I would have expected that to be, you know, limited to
stupid Americans.
Not at all. No, limited to people who. You know, we've got the conspiracy theorists, but they're, what I'm seeing now is just people are not bothering because it's affecting their life. You know, I couldn't be arsed to wear a mask, and the restaurants are shut, so it's upsetting me. I need to go to my restaurant, and I need to go on my ski vacation, and I need to do this. You know, the selfishness of the thing. All these people, you know, you see all these people who are in the homes, taking care of people, in the ICUs, people who are coming out of retirement, going into the healthcare, and then people are out clapping, and yet at the same time, now they're complaining that they have to stay home, and, oh, well, you can let your kids go to a party, because what does it matter? It's just very frustrating that that's it.
Yep. I feel kind of stupid with my comment earlier. It's really not, it hasn't changed the amount of people, the type of people that it's hitting. It's just, I'm noticing a lot, maybe I'm just noticing a lot more younger people getting it than I was, or I don't know, it's too early.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it seems to be affecting younger people a lot more as well.
Well,
so, yeah. The treatments are a lot better. You know, the people are not spending, are getting out of ICUs and stuff, which means they're not dying, so they're not freeing up beds, which is a good thing, but also put more stress on the healthcare system.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing a lot more younger people getting it now, you know, but that's just the people who I am involved with or no or something. I don't know. It was a stupid comment, and it's way too early. Because now when I think about it, I know that other people on Discord yesterday, you know, Flying Rich?
Yep.
On the Pinots Discord, Dor had made some mention that Flying Rich was actually in the hospital with it.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and, you know, at first, you know, it said in the hospital, and then I read further, and it said, well, he said that he had gotten it, but in the hospital with it, and in the hospital, that's not, because he's a relatively healthy individual.
Yeah.
That's really not good.
No, it's not good, though. No. I'm going to grab a coffee before we start. You do the intro, yeah?
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
2 minutes. Honky, on the main HPR website, I put a link to way to capture the streams.
Okay.
To record, how to record the show.
So. Yeah, I think Kevin is going to do a recording off the stream. Since I'm going to be home pretty much most of today, I think I was just going to set an alarm on my watch about every 4 hours or so and stop and start the recording. I had pretty good luck with my recording last year.
So I'm recording this with a epoch time in there as well.
Okay.
1 minute, 30 seconds.
One bad thing about Etherpad is if you don't have the exact name of the pad, it'll just create a new pad. Like if I had the HPR one, but it was like not capitalized in the right spot, it would just create a new one instead of just telling me like this one doesn't exist. Which if you're looking for one individual one, then it gets very frustrating. Luckily, there is a admin plugin that you can put in to manage pads, but it's not there by default. Etherpad is such a fantastic tool, too.
You ready? Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio's 9th annual 26-hour New Year's Eve show. 2020 is over. Welcome, 2021, Kiritimati. At least some people can benefit from 2020 being over. Joining me today is...
Hongi Magoo. Hi, how you doing?
I thought you were going to be doing the intro, but then the time zone switched over. So.
So did I, but all of a sudden you just jumped right on there. You go right ahead. Keep going. You're doing great.
No. Let's restart.
Restart! Well, too bad. My recording's already been going for a little while, so we already restarted.
Too late. You're going to have to do it next year.
Nah. All right. I mean, what else is there to say? This is the 9th annual Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show, a show where people can come on, say hello, you know, ring in the new year, talk to other like-minded Hacker Public Radio people. I don't know. Other hackers. I don't know. It's something I enjoy doing because it gives people a chance to come on and talk about hackery type things, things that are normally discussed on Hacker Public Radio, and just have a good time. I mean, a lot of times I get onto here and there's people I don't normally talk like you. This is about the only chance I really get to talk to you, but except for through email.
Yeah, true enough, actually, yeah. I'm officially at work now, so I'm going to have to keep it very technical today.
Gotcha.
For this time is trading. Yeah, but I do like the... I don't like the editing of this. It's very stressful, but yeah. Thankfully, you're doing that, so I don't need to worry about it.
as long as the audio files want to play nice, then I don't mind doing the editing.
Yeah, if we can, it also helps if you keep the show notes. So there's the Etherpad along with the show. If you go to the Hacker Public Radio website, it's all explained there. And yeah, links and stuff. It just makes life a lot easier. And then, yeah, hopefully it'll be good.
Yep. Last year, Kevin did some of the editing, and we really didn't do much by way of the show notes. But in years past, I've sat down and re-listened to absolutely... I get everything, you know, edited up finally, and then I sit down and re-listen to everything, which is kind of fun on its own, which means that it doesn't necessarily get out as quickly. I want to say in years past, it's been like June, July before I fully get it out. But
I'm fine with that.
But it gives me a chance to sit down and fully listen to all of it. There have been times where I've sat down and listened to it, and the purpose of maybe pulling some links for show notes, and I've been in situations where I couldn't, you know, write down links in show notes, then had to go back and re-listen to it afterwards. But you know,
yeah.
It's kind of like I just recently re-listened to the previous year's ones, and I mean, there were parts of there at the end that I didn't catch from before, just because of the way that the so there was some problem with the truncate silence and the one that got uploaded. And yeah. So it kind of screwed a lot of things up. But my version had a truncate silence that was surprisingly still a little bit rough. But I was able to listen to all of it. Like Pokey's audio at the end of the show there was getting kind of where it almost seemed like it was chopping off his first word of everything that he was saying.
Yeah.
But... hopefully 2021 is going to be a better year, but you know, 2019 wasn't a fantastic year. 2020, yeah, exactly. 2020 wasn't a fantastic year. So, you know, fingers crossed and all that.
Well, actually, I think for a worldwide pandemic, the COVID virus could have been a lot worse. I mean, it could have been Ebola, and that would have been a different ball of fish, to be brutally honest with you.
Well, yeah, it could always be worse.
Yeah, that's not to minimize it or anything. But
oh God, no.
But the World Trade Organization, or not the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization says, you know, FYI, this isn't the big one. When we spoke about the big one before, this isn't it. So I think people, hopefully, it'll be an eye opener for people. For one thing, it's meant things like remote working and, you know, that you need to physically move the atoms that compose yourself to a location to be online seems a little bit silly. You know, all the arguments that I've heard for not being able to work from home or work remotely seem to have gone out the window.
Well, those arguments were mostly by, like, people's employers who don't think that was a good idea, wasn't it?
Yep.
How are you getting along with working remotely?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as if I went into work and plugged in, because the teams I work with are remote anyway. I've only ever met them in person, a few of them in person. So we start more or less every day at 10 o'clock with a stand-up. Some of the teams have always... what they do is they have a TV, they have offices, and then they had a big TV at the end of one of the both office locations, and then they have a constant Google Meetup going. And if you want to, so the teams then go for coffee at the same time, you know, even though one is in the Netherlands and one is in Poland, and you can walk over to the wall and then ask a question of your colleagues over there, or you know, via Flowdock or whatever tools you happen to be using. So basically, to me, the work didn't change as much. What did change was the interactions with people. That I missed that more than I thought I would, to be honest.
Really? All right, 1 second. Hold on. It's Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What are you doing up this hour of the morning?
Oh, we make her stay in bed until 5. She's probably been up since about like 4.
Oh, silly girl.
Oh, I was corrected. She's been up since 4:15.
Dear. What time does she go to bed?
Around 8.
Very good. Very good.
So you have a television with a Teams thing set up at the end of the hallway?
Yeah, so like they have in the offices where the teams are working. So you're working on Project X, yeah, and one person is in one country, the other person's in another country, and so you have three different offices. So what they do is they put on a large monitor TV, because we work in the TV industry, so we've got TVs, and you hook up a like external mic and HDMI HD camera, like a conference call microphone, a good quality microphone, and then put on Teams or put on whatever your video conferencing app of choice is. So there's a camera in their office pointing at them. There's a camera in your office pointing at you, and you're just there working. So it's like as if you're all in one office.
It's a video conferencing. I didn't realize that. That's kind of crazy.
Well, not really. When you think about it, it's just a video conference that's going on all the time.
Fair enough. It's for me.
And when they sent them home, when everybody had to work from home, this is a consulting company. They sent them all an iPad, and the purpose of the iPad or tablet of some sort, and the purpose of the tablet was just to be. That's your video conferencing thing. You're there. And then they have one big meeting that everybody's in just on the wall. So you got one screen just for that, where you can see everybody else and it's pointing at you.
Now,
some would say possibly monitoring, but
I was going to say, that's not running all day long, is it?
Yep. Yep. It is.
You have somebody watching you while you work all day long, or everybody?
Yeah, it's their choice. You don't have to put it on, but it's their choice. Okay. And to be honest, while it seems freaky at first, if it's your choice, then it actually does aid in the camaraderie.
Yeah.
It gives you an office feeling.
Right. Yeah, I know there's some people who apparently had to be like monitored during all of it. You know, the whole time they're remote, there was somebody basically sitting there watching them, and they had to be, I'm not sure if they were recorded or what, but that sounds a little nicer, especially if it's your choice. Besides the one, you know, you said there was like once a week there was like a meeting where everyone's supposed to get together.
Yeah, I've seen some reports of tools that monitor the amount of activity, what websites they're going to, how long are you clicking, how much you're doing in each of the Word documents, and all sorts. So it's a bit weird, but that seems like a better compromise to me. You have control. You can always just, you know, turn off the thing. It's your choice whether you put it on or not.
Right.
So Brexit is going ahead, apparently.
I thought it already went ahead.
Yeah, as of... No, it starts tomorrow.
Oh.
They had a year, year's grace.
See, I don't know as much about it, mostly because I don't... I don't live in the UK, so I don't follow it as closely. I just have a kind of a general knowledge. But so the big thing is that they're leaving the European Union, right?
Yeah, they left the EU last year, and then they had a year where they agreed to a transition of 1 year, where the both sides agreed that the same rules would apply, and then that gave them a year to come up with a deal, and then the deal. If they failed to have a deal, they would resort to World Trade Organization rules, which means tariffs on goods coming in and out of the countries. So COVID happened then, and people stopped caring, basically. And on the continental Europe, a lot of the concerns that I had, and I think a lot of people had, was the situation in Northern Ireland. But I think we need to now welcome in Chatham Islands in New Zealand, who oddly enough have a 10:15 welcome in.
Oh, indeed.
So then there was a big hoo-ha about the deal with Northern Ireland, because it's a continuous border, 300 kilometers of a border, with multiple border crossings. And in fact, the road, there are roads that form. So if you're on the left-hand side of the road, you're in one country. If you're on the right-hand side, you're in another country. So that was interesting. And since the peace process, they've been doing an awful lot to try and integrate the various different communities and make it seamless, so that there is a seamless border. Even the signs and stuff don't... You would need to be fairly far into the... each jurisdiction before you start seeing the signs of the jurisdiction you're in order to de-escalate potential locations of conflict. So the truce that was agreed to in the Good Friday Agreement kind of basically was based on the fact that the UK and the Republic of Ireland are in the same customs union. So in essence, it didn't really matter what community you felt more affinity to. You are, all intents and purposes, you could still get in your airplane and go somewhere else and benefit from the shared island approach or the shared economy. But then Brexit came, and suddenly the UK is no longer in the EU and they're a third country. So that raises very legitimate questions for the unionist community in the north. And also makes a lot of the nationalist community very worried, because with the status quo has brought a lot of peace and prosperity. So the agreement then was to allow Northern Ireland to be part of the European Union while still being part of the United Kingdom. How that's going to be implemented in practice is anyone's guess, but that essentially means there's a economic border around the island of Ireland, and I can see that would be very troubling for a lot of the unionists in Northern Ireland. They would see that as and with justification, a separation from the union that they have a desire to continue to be part of. Don't know if I said that as so that, and that's where it stands. And then the rest of the UK basically just abandoned. Scotland don't want to be. There is a significant majority in Scotland that don't want to be leaving the EU either. And there's talk of, if you listen to the Scottish nationalists, they wish to have another referendum. They had a referendum a few years ago, and one of the main reasons they believe they lost the referendum was because the voters wanted to remain in the European Union. And now that they've left the European Union, they feel that they should have another chance at getting their own sovereignty back, because they've always been an independent country. And then they would apply to join the European Union themselves. So, yes, Brexit explained.
I'm kind of confused as to what the upside to not being part of the European Union would be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No doubt we'll seal that, because Britain will prosper mightily, apparently, quoting their Prime Minister. But, I'm at a bit of a loss myself.
See, I've always tried to explain things is that I look forward to the day that we have the... kind of like back in Star Trek, the Federated, United Federated Planets. Everybody's all together in one.
Kumbaya.
Not necessarily kumbaya, but it's, all under one flag. Do we decide whether you want a 3D printer yet or not?
Oh, yes, I definitely do, but I'm not going to get one as yet. Might next year. Don't have the space at the moment. But it's nice to have the shows on 3D printers.
Yeah, I like those. Enjoyed them.
Could do with more.
Well, I tried convincing the Lugcast guys to just kind of do a before show talk for a while as to why we enjoy using 3D printers, but it didn't take.
Bummer. Okay. I definitely would find some use for it, all right. But and that the one that was recommended, can't remember which one, seems affordable and doable.
Ender 3.
The Ender 3. But as yet, I'm still in a project trying to clear out this back room because we're going to renovate it. And that's just taking forever. I don't want to start putting other stuff in while we're doing that.
I understand. But it is an extremely fun hobby. Being on vacation, it's just... it's one of those hobbies where I feel like when it's not being used, I almost feel sad, like I have to figure out something for it to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I also got all sorts of wonderful filament for Christmas, so I got all of the crazy ones. I had one that looks like wood, glow-in-the-dark, one that looks silver, a golden brass, one that looks, gold. And it's now I got to figure out cool things to do with all this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good. Just doing some work here while I'm in between. What have you got, an Ender?
No, I have the ANET ET4.
Did you do a show on that?
I did not.
I'm shocked and horrified.
Again, my plan was to try to convince other... See, I'm not good at doing shows by myself, just sitting in a room talking to myself. I work better when I can talk to somebody else. So I try to convince the other people on the Lugcast to just do like a talk about 3D printing.
Yeah, good.
If you remember in the past, most of my shows, I convinced Kevin to come along with me, so...
I saw Kevin on earlier, and but he's not talking to me.
Yeah, I think he's just on there to have the stream going. No, he's got the Z-Stream, but he's got the other... I think he's just on there, F and mutant and everything.
That must have annoyed him or something. It's the only explanation.
I don't think that's possible.
Brexit. Where would I find a link to Brexit? Yes, Kevin, we're seeing the chat. Keep the Etherpad updated, lol. Ken Fallon, you don't annoy me. I'm just not trying hard enough, Kevin. Why is he listening and not taking part? That, I don't understand. I'm supposed to be working here. Okay, microservices, yes.
I bet you're missing that long ride into work, though.
Surprisingly enough, yeah, it's affected my podcast listening a lot.
Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like 4 days a week, 3 hours in the train is not pleasant, but I also notice I have zero time for myself and my own stuff. So I come out here in the morning, you're at work, you go in and you're immediately into papa mode. So there's no gap at all. And then you come back to the same place if you want to watch a video or something, it's back to here. So I'm getting a bit sick of being out here.
I got you.
Sometimes I take the, I just load the videos I want to watch on my phone and just go out to the living room. Everybody sitting on the couches next to each other, just everybody watching their own videos.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Nah, that's fine.
Now, can you not listen to stuff while you work?
No.
No, okay. Good.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Kind of a yikes over here. I can't get it to work on my computer.
What client are you using?
Mumble. Just the latest version.
Yeah, seems okay.
Well, how are you installing it?
I'm on the Mac too, so app.
Is it through this app?
No. Let me try that actually. I'll do it. Kind of rush.
It's weird that there's an issue to connect to the Mumble.
Yeah. Somebody had in the Etherpad that version 1.3.3 was being rejected on Linux, but not on Windows. Strange.
Really?
Always. Yeah, I find it amazing that these certs, you know, renewal things all seem to happen on the 1st of January, blah, blah, blah. It seems the most stupid time to do it. You know, do it on Wednesday in the middle of the day in February when people are available to deal with the issue, not on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Just because round numbers.
Right.
The Romans had it down 1st of April, 12 o'clock. That was the time that the New Year switched. Don't get me started about the 26-hour time zones.
Which actually makes sense. But okay, fine.
Or time zones, period.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's fine. Summertime time zones, I can see a reason for it. I mean, we have epoch, so fine. And we have UTC, so fine. If people all used ISO 8601, so the correct year format. And I don't, this has been bugging me all year. Thankfully, there's, just to give you some background, ISO 8601 is the date format where the year is first, then the month, then the day, then the hours, then the minutes, then the seconds. And that is the only sane human readable time format, because when you sort it, it sorts correctly. It's a very, very simple thing. And it means that you don't need to, there's no disambiguity. If you switch from 200 kilometers away from here, they use month, day. And then here, they use day, month. And in the US, they use month, day. So it's all a bit strange. So that clears all that up. And it's amazing, there's been a trend on applications on Linux to rely entirely on the locale based on your computer. And Firefox has, Thunderbird has had this issue where it only relies on the locales for date and time information. So there is no option. If you happen to be located in, if you happen to be located in the Netherlands like I am, and want my dates sorted by year, month, whatever, according to this decision that Linux has taken, you don't have the option. You are forced to have your dates and times, your mails, your calendar, everything sorted by month, by day, month, year. So then when you look at your calendar, you've got all these numbers out of date. It is absolutely frustrating. And there's been a bug that I've been following for the last 2 years trying to convince them that this is actually an issue. And it's now an issue as well with OwnCloud or NextCloud, that I get AM and PM when in my calendar, and there's no way to change it because this is the locale you've chosen. So therefore, everybody in that locale, this is the preference they have. Do you understand what I'm on about or not?
Oh, yeah. I don't necessarily run into that issue, but I definitely understand what you're on about.
Yeah, okay. But the vast you're living in the US, and the vast majority of the US follow the same time zone stuff, so that you're more than happy dealing with that. Now, say you move to the Netherlands, right, on a vacation, and you get stuck here because of COVID. Now you're in lockdown in a hotel, right? And suddenly the laptop that you've been assigned from the hotel, because you've got your own laptop, thinks that you now have the ability to speak Dutch. So every web page that you go to suddenly starts displaying Dutch to you. This is a big issue with going to Google. If you go to Google from the Netherlands, you are assumed to be able to speak Dutch, and there is no way on their web pages to be able to change that. That's thing number one. Thing number two, all your dates will turn from Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It'll be Maandag, Dinsdag, Woensdag, Donderdag, as an example. And your date formats will also change. And you have no way of changing that back without saying that you're in the US. But now you need to fill out your tax forms. So now you don't have the euro symbol, and you don't have your dots and the comma as decimal point separators. So floating point separators here is a comma, whereas in the States, it's a full stop. So now I'm here, I can do all my stuff, but I'm forced in a compromise. I don't have the euro. What I want to be able to do is have the euro symbol as the currency sign. Okay, fine. So I'll select Ireland as my time zone. I'll select Ireland as my locale. So they've got the euro, grand. We're good so far. Okay, but they don't use the ISO 8601 date format. Okay, so I can switch to a Scandinavian country where they use that date format. Okay, that's great. But they don't use the euro. Or I can switch to Denmark. So if I switch my Denmark English, then that'll sort that. Then I have at least English. But then that got dropped because there's no official Denmark English. So now, all of a sudden, everything turns into Danish because there's no option to go into your preferences. So file preferences, set your date format, use the locale or specify it using the date, you know, percent YYY dash MM that you get. So unless you're dealing with it, I can understand that people don't think about it. But when you stand back and think about it, if you base it on just a locale, you're making the assumption that every person in that geographical region all agree on what the date format should be, regardless of their historical background preferences. You basically are removing their preferences from by doing so. Okay, I'll stop talking about that.
No, that's fine. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's no reason why there shouldn't be some way to fix that. Change it, at least.
I'll add some links to the show notes, so you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
No worries. Truncate silence will do its thing.
Wait, is that cut out the silence automatically?
Yeah. If you go into Audacity and then, tools or something, truncate silence, then you can specify if there's a space of gaps in between the audio, then it'll basically narrow them down, and you can specify how much, like half a second or something. So it's a good idea if you're editing audio to first record some silence. So if there's any background hums or something like that, and then do noise removal. And noise removal is a two-part. You select an area of silence of the background hum and get noise profile for that, and then select the entire track. Then do noise removal again, only this time apply, and then that will remove that buzz from the entire track, and then you've got a clean audio, and from there you can go tools and truncate silence, and it'll truncate all this down. So that makes it a lot cleaner.
Yeah, we definitely need to get rid of some of the awkward pauses in this.
Oh, that's part of the crack of the New Year show. So where are you from?
America. Boring. Florida.
Florida. You're up early, I guess.
Yeah, I'm an early riser.
Very good, very good. How did you hear about this event?
Through the website. I don't remember where I found Hacker Public Radio, but like a month or so ago, and I've been enjoying the show.
Hacker News had us on for a while.
Could have been
it. So have you thought of recording a show?
I've thought of it, but I'm kind of scared it's going to go horribly wrong somehow.
No, too late. You're already done. You've already done your first show. Everybody's introduced you now. It's all uphill from now. Uphill? Downhill? Downhill sounds negative. Gets easier from now on.
Yeah, downhill's probably easier to do, but uphill's the phrase, I believe.
I just closed a ticket in case anybody from my work is listening. So I am working.
Multitasking.
That's the bunny. It's very quiet now this year, or in between the holidays. Lots of people are off anyway. So I'm striving for inbox zero.
Would be lovely.
Any shows you particularly liked so far?
I mean, none that can stand out to me. I'm not very good at it.
It's a mixed bag, truth be told.
Yeah. There's definitely been some interesting ones, but I just, when I'm asked to come up with something off the top of my head, yeah.
I couldn't pick a favorite is my standard response.
That's part of the theme of politely saying something rude.
No, actually, I find it hard to compare shows because they're so random, and sometimes I think, really, I'm never ever going to find the show useful, you know? And then a few weeks later, you're desperately searching for the exact thing that was said in that show, and then, yes, thank you. Thank you very much for that niche thing that unfortunately has just happened to me.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten some knowledge I never expected to know.
Yeah. Okay, the bug still remains open, so I will carry on. I'm not going to be able to close that one. So you could do an introduction show. Hi, my name is, I live in blah. I got into tech as a result of blah. I'd ask you that now, but that would be wasting a show. And as you know, the New Year show doesn't count to your show tally, so.
Yeah, oh, wait, hold on. I use middle mouse button as my push to talk, and every time I hit it, it pastes something, and I have to watch out for that.
Yep.
It's so convenient, but so awful at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
I just pasted like 3 lines into the show notes. Gotta remove this.
Your passwords.
Yeah. Password 123.
I'm gonna grab another coffee, because that's what I need to get through today.
I think I'm gonna do that too. And by coffee, I mean monster.
Actually, it's already lunchtime.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who are you?
That was my 5-year-old.
Haha. Sounds a bit more tired.
Oh, he's grumpy. He has a video that's not working.
Well, go fix that.
It's something that should be free. I gave them the Fire tablets with the kid mode set up and whatever video. For some reason, there's like one video that just doesn't want to play. So if it was an issue that I could fix, trust me, I would. And he's getting angry at me like I could fix it.
Yeah, super dead.
Right.
I have returned.
Did this nap work?
Yeah, I didn't even think to try, you know, doing it the way normal people do it.
So I had tested it out because Kevin had noticed the issue a while ago, and I had tested it out yesterday in a VM, and I went through their store forgetting that their store would automatically put it in as a snap. So, but apparently the snap works, and the one from the repo in Ubuntu seems to be the one having the problems.
I can deal with the snap. Are you all gonna... The problem gonna be fixed before the show's over, or is it just gonna have to be something that is?
I believe it's just something to do with the Murmur server itself. It's just a problem that is.
Unfortunate.
Indeed. We debated using a different server, but my reasoning for not pushing for another server is because this one is basically the HPR server. It's the one that's well known. So there's a lot of people who are returning to here who are going to have like this server already set up and automatically go towards this server. So I didn't want to have any confusion by those people as to what's going on or how come this thing would, because this would still be set up and then they'd be going to this room and then there'd be nobody there and get all confused. And okay, I don't know. I just to lessen confusion.
Yeah. Do you have kids in the background there? Or what is that?
Yep.
Ah. Yeah, I suppose it wouldn't be a very good idea to change the server in the middle of the show either.
Oh, no. Definitely not in the middle.
Just on the Mumble server there, I'm thinking that, yeah, you're right. At this point, it's too late to change people to another server, but the HPR server, looking at all the people, all the rooms... a lot of these shows don't exist anymore. So the only people using the server is the HPR. And that's an expense that we don't need. I didn't mind paying for it if other people were using the server. But I think the majority of people have moved over to Delwyn server. And yeah, I would prefer to give him the money that I'm giving to this provider. In order to maintain the server there for everybody. Well, that's something to do during the year, I guess.
New Year's resolutions.
So, the Delwyn server, I believe, is just us and, well, the Linux Logcast and Tilts, I believe. And this server has been around for a very long time.
Yeah, but they don't do maintenance on it, so that's an issue.
Yeah.
And looking at the podcasts on it, I did... something like 6 or 7 of the podcasts. Let me just grab it. 1 second. So the Boston Browns, Ledger the Cat, Noel Tech Show, Noel Craft, Rev Unity. Can't find anything about those on the internet. Then we have the Techie Geek, Dude Maninoff, Geeks with Guns, Linux Basic, Linux Expert, Open Source Musicians, Prob Brewers, and Scannerdrome all seem to have podfaded. That leaves Podnuts, who have already said they don't use the server. Mintcast, who say they have their own server, I think. They haven't got back to me yet. And Sunday Morning Linux Review, which they have their own server. I don't think they use the server either. And Unseen Studio have moved off to their own server. So essentially, I've been paying for this for no reason.
From my understanding, the Mintcast guys use this server as a backup one when their own one isn't working, which I don't know how often that's happened. There's a possibility that some of the Mintcast guys might come on here later, so we can ask them when they're here. Now, okay, I wonder for the frequency that this is used. I mean, it's mostly what the monthly rundown show that this is used, right?
And yes.
Wonder how difficult it would be for someone to spin up their own version of it for the few times it's being used.
Yeah, no, Delwyn has already offered to host our room on his server. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so that would be cool. But yeah, they keeping this server just because people have it in their Mumble client.
It would be confusing if this server existed, but if the servers didn't exist, then the people who wanted to join would go, oh, the server doesn't exist. I'll go to Hacker Public Radio, find out what the new server is, and then go there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Kind of a shame that the show Geeks with Guns doesn't exist anymore, because it sounds like an interesting idea.
I'm trying to remember who else was a part of that show.
I think it's just about dawning on me that it's going to be 2021 in 18 hours. I don't know if I can believe that one.
Yeah, this year flew by, even with all its craziness.
I know, that's the surprising part. I thought it was going to take like 10 years this year. But still expecting to wake up and see it's March 15th or something. February 2nd, it's all been a dream.
Yeah. What are people's feelings about the vaccine? And which one?
I don't know much about the different vaccines, but I mean, I'd probably get one. I guess there's some risks involved, considering how fast they rushed it out, but I just want this whole thing to be over with, and I want us all to get the vaccine and just stop dealing with this whole thing.
Well, from my understanding, I don't think it's ever going to be like fully away. I think the vaccines are going to be something that's it's almost like the flu vaccine, something that you're probably going to have to get every year.
Yeah, but I want to hope, because I guess there was the mutated virus already, if that's a thing. I don't know, I only heard whisperings about it.
The what?
Apparently it mutated in England or something, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I heard something that it mutated in... I didn't read it, the article fully, but I saw something that it mutated in Africa. I just don't know whether that was the same strand that was in the UK or it was a different one.
Different one.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, but it mutates all the time. It's just England, the UK, and South Africa monitor for that sort of thing. And they actually got harshly penalized for the fact that they're doing the science, following the scientific process better than other countries. But
they're penalized by who?
By the fact that they got shut down and locked out. Oh, there's a new strand of virus, let's shut down the country.
Got it.
Yeah.
So if you've got a new strand of virus, are you going to basically tell anybody, or are you just going to go, oh, gosh, forgot about that. 2 weeks later, your country's going to have it anyway because there's people moving in over and back.
Right.
However, I will put in the show notes a very good link to a article that a friend of my colleague in work wrote about reading the source code of the virus. Let me paste that in.
I was a little apprehensive about the vaccine at first, but I mean, I think enough people have gotten it where it seems to be okay. I was concerned about the fact that they seem to have rushed it out, but like I said, enough people have gotten it, have taken the vaccine and seem to be fine. And there are a lot of people that I even know personally that have gotten it and seem to be fine. So I'm definitely feeling feeling better about it.
I think you need to be careful about saying that they rushed it out, because yes, they improved the process, but they followed the same procedures that they would normally, except that they released their findings on a continual ongoing basis rather than waiting for the end of the trials and submitting it before moving on to the next phase of the trials, which was a lot more expensive to do. But in fairness to the US government, I think they funded a lot of that research so that vaccine trials could continue like that. And the fact that they were producing it prior to the trials being improved meant that, you know, if the trials had failed, you have this complete waste of all these vaccines that have already been produced. But as it turned out, you know, it was just kind of messing with the Gantt chart. So rather than rushing it out, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I understand. I definitely don't want to be responsible for anyone thinking they shouldn't get the vaccine either. I'm sure if they went through the testing, it's probably not going to be a big deal.
I just put a link in there in the show notes to reverse engineering the source code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And the guy writes it from the point of view of an IT person or a computer scientist. So like about metadata and bits and bytes and, you know, let's look at the source code. What does the first bit do? What does the second bit do? What does this do? What does that do? And then where is the differences between the virus and the vaccine and why they put those things in place? So a very, very good read. Yeah, a heavy read, no less, but a very good read.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through here. It looks quite interesting. I have to read this whole thing here.
I would put it into reader mode and have it text-to-speech to you is the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'll have some sort of text-to-speech for it.
Do you know anybody who's gotten the vaccine?
I don't, because our wonderful health service were less than efficient in rolling it out. We're the last country in Europe to start vaccination.
Oh, boy.
And the second last was Ireland, but they had their... Yeah. Yeah, I won't go into it. News article saying, it's not a race. Actually, it is a race. It is. The sooner you get it out, the less people who will die. That's the sort of race it is.
Right.
This New Year's show will be the COVID show.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a big topic. You know, it's kind of a hard one hard to avoid it.
Yeah, we're not going to go very long in this show, I don't think, without discussing COVID.
Right.
If I'm here long enough, I'll set a timer, see how long it goes.
We have friends who work in the healthcare industry who have gotten the vaccine, and my wife works the front desk at a pediatric office, and they're offering the vaccine. Actually, they told her that this Saturday she could head down to one of the hospitals and get her vaccine. I'm kind of waiting. I work in a grocery store that has a pharmacy that does like the flu vaccine. Apparently, they're supposed to be getting it at some point. I probably wait until they get it there and probably get it then. But like I said, I felt like I was a little apprehensive at first, but you know, it seems to be fine. So I'm definitely feel like it's best to get it and, you know, try to, like you said, kind of get things back to normal as best as we can. And the only way that that's going to happen is through this vaccine or a vaccine.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, as soon as it becomes available to me, I want to get it.
Same here.
I wonder if the first person to get the publicly available, like, you know, it's been rolled out, vaccine knows they were the first.
Probably.
Yeah, it was in all the papers and everything.
I like all the political figures who get their vaccine live on television.
I want to see that, but they're scared of the needle.
Yeah. Well, we had one guy here. I'm not sure who it was. Who they put like the needle in, but they didn't push the plunger in.
Yeah, I think I saw those on the conspiracy theory sites, and the BBC said it was as a result of that they had given the shot, but it happened so fast that they had to go back and do it again. So.
Classic television.
Right.
Just double vaccine them, it'll be extra strong.
Well, technically the vaccine, you're supposed to get it, from my understanding, it's you get the vaccine and then you have to wait 30 days and get the second shot.
Yep.
So they just sped it up.
Yeah.
Why wait 30 days? Just
exactly. More. Faster.
Boom, boom, done.
I'm out of here. I'm immune. Step back. Where's my ski trip?
Yeah, I'm reading here on CDC.gov. You have to get two doses, 1 3 to 4 weeks after the first.
Yeah, I think about the only thing I'm waiting on is the Pfizer one has to be stored at -20.
Creeper, run! Bye!
Or something. It has to be stored very, very cold. And because that has to be stored at very cold, there's a lot of places that where they don't have the facilities to handle that, so that the second one, the Moderna, doesn't have to be stored super cold, and so that one's going to be available to more places because they don't have to have a facility to hold something that cold. And like I said, the pharmacy at the store that I work is going to be getting those, and once those get rolled out more to the public, it should be available to me, and I'll probably get it.
And that was a explanation the Dutch government had, that it was more suited to large inoculation events where people could drive by, and not more suited to nursing homes that are currently getting blasted. However, the counter-argument might be perhaps that if you brought it to a strategic location and then organized that it could be taken, the doses for the day could be taken out and immediately dispatched by a team of 10 doctors, then you only needed to, Okay, won't go into that. Won't go into that. Organization could have fixed it, I believe, is what I'm trying to say.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Has anybody worked on any interesting projects this year?
I don't... Well, sorry, what'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
Has anybody worked on any interesting projects this year?
Oh, It's not really a project in the sense that you probably meant, but you know OpenStreetMap. I've kind of been getting into that whole thing.
Oh, because, editing
a project?
Yeah, it's just a really big project that the whole world is part of.
That's a show right there.
That's true.
Do you use OpenStreetMap a lot?
Yeah, I use it to navigate OSM and...
Nice.
Same here all the time.
I should definitely use it more, but the amount I need navigation, it's a lot easier just to bring up Google Maps real quick.
Sometimes I have to use Google Maps to give directions to other people. Because you can't really share OSM and, like, you can't share that to another person. As far as I'm aware, you can't share the location unless they also use OpenStreetMap. Does anyone think they're going to stay until tonight, New Year's? Or are you all going to leave?
Oh, I'll definitely can't make it that long.
Yeah, same here. But there'll be loads of people on. Could probably extend as well tomorrow due to the fact that it's Saturday, it's the weekend.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Friday, right? I haven't messed up the day yet, have I?
Yeah, sorry. What I mean to say is that it's a free day bank holiday in most places.
Yeah.
And then on to Saturday, because that is the weekend.
How long do these shows usually last?
They can go on for days, yeah. Depends on the timing. Sometimes they're fast, sometimes they're... Yeah, it depends who's on as well. Hello, Dave.
Well, hello. Hi, Dave. There.
Oh, yeah. It's Scottish accent. Can you understand?
that wouldn't work here. I'm about as English as they come as far as Scotland's concerned. There you go.
Enjoy your last few hours of European Union.
It's utterly, utterly, utterly insane. It really is. It's like somebody sawing their own leg off and then saying, there you go, got rid of that thing. They don't want that anymore. Oh, no, I can't walk. Crash. And it's gonna be a nightmare here, I think. It's
absolutely a nightmare. Oh, I doubt that, Dave. It'll be perfect. It'll be prosper mightily, to quote an orator.
Yeah. So who gains from this? This is the question. Who is making money out of this? And, well, I know where I point my finger. No, not at all. Not at all. I think my finger's going to point in the direction that I won't utter just now. Yeah, it's...
Dave, you're such a cynic.
Dear. You don't get to be as old as me without being a cynic, probably. I've learned a lot this year, actually. This year has been a revelation. I've lived my life in a sort of little bubble in some respects, yeah. Not really being that aware of what's going on. Certainly not very aware about politics. I think the lockdown has helped me to go and read more and also avoid the dreadful rubbish that is out there on the internet and in newspapers and on telly and all that and radio. So I may be describing some form of conspiracy theorist, maybe. I don't know, but it seems to me that I've got a clearer view of the way the world works, the way that humans manage stuff and to amass piles of money themselves. That's the way that most things seem to be driven.
Yeah, it is a little bit depressing.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was listening to you on the stream as I was getting things sorted out here, and you were talking about the vaccines and stuff.
Yep. None of your weird conspiracy theories now, Dave, yeah? Just the facts, please.
My son's girlfriend, I guess, is the... I'm not sure what the PC version is these days, but she is a doctor, and so she got the Pfizer vaccine last week, I think. So, yeah, all good with her. It's some people have had painful arm as a consequence, but she and none of her colleagues did, as far as I'm aware. So she's obviously there's another one coming in 4 weeks or something. It's looking good as far as she's concerned.
Yep. They're talking here about giving special rights to more freedom to people who got the vaccine. And yeah. I'm thinking, while on paper that sounds reasonable, but they can still be carrying the virus. They can still be, okay, fine. I won't.
No, it's true. It's true. These things are not really known yet, but the chances are that it's not what they call a sterilizing immunity, where if the infective agent attacks you, your immune system just zaps it and destroys it totally. It's more likely to be the one where you get it, but you don't get the disease. The disease is blocked from you, but you could still be a carrier. Just like Typhoid Mary.
exactly.
So,
God, she got a bad rep.
She had a really bad time. It could be a world full of Typhoid Marys with the vaccine, you know?
Didn't she get imprisoned, basically, forever?
Up. Yes. She got out or was let out, and then she went and back to... And it was under the understanding she wouldn't be a cook anymore, but she that was what she knew, so she went back and did as a cook in a household and gave them all typhoid and stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a very sad story. It's a while since I've read it, but it's fascinating.
Oh, Dave.
So we're getting the we're likely to get the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine that's just been approved by the
cheap British, one.
The
it works fine. It's grand. It's almost as good as the other vaccine.
It's just a different one. I think there's maybe less known about it. It's one that's in a. It's a virus. It's a genetically modified chimp virus. So the chimp virus is a adenovirus, however you pronounce that, adenovirus, which gives chimps a thing a bit like a cold. And people in general don't have any immunity towards it. So there wouldn't be any sort of allergic reaction in the vast majority of cases. And it has its DNA. Is it DNA? Whatever. Anyways, genetic material has been modified to generate the spike protein of the coronavirus, and that's the thing that we want your immune system to get excited about, because that's the thing that will kill the viruses, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, if you get it. So yeah, it's amazing stuff. It's pretty amazing stuff. It's all genetic engineering. The other one, the Pfizer and the Moderna, they're both mRNA viruses. They make messenger RNA, which will generate spike protein, and they just stick it in a lipid envelope or something and inject that into you, and it latches onto your cells and makes them make spike protein, which is, again, amazing. So they can change it relatively quickly if there's any need.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Did you read that article I sent you on the source code thing?
I started looking at it. It's really it's I'm busy. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's talking a lot about virology and genetics and stuff. So it's fairly tough going, but it's definitely very interesting. It's sat in a tab on one of my browsers, so it will get read.
Do you use reader mode at all in Firefox?
No.
How is this related?
No.
If you go Control Alt R, Romeo, and then you can press play, and it'll do a text to speech.
It helps with that.
Yeah. I've not tried it, obviously, but I don't know. I find text to speech things throw me a bit because they pronounce things wrong, and that really bothers me. Because there's things like polyadenylation and stuff in there, and I bet you no speech synthesizer is going to get that right. Anyway, that's why I can't listen to LibriVox, by the way, because there's some brilliant readers on LibriVox, but there's some people who have the most devastating accent, and they don't, the way they read stuff is completely wrong to my mind. And I just have the sort of brain that says, no, that's wrong. No, I can't listen to that. I'm off by. Which is really stupid when I say it, but it is a fact.
Yes, this is, I'm familiar with this side of your personality, Dave.
And somebody's wrong on the internet and it's Ken. Oh, no, it's
not. Yeah, usually, yes. Yeah. Although I've used that to my advantage, I must say, yeah. Oh, dear.
Speaking of y'all naming each other, I should put a name to y'all's voices. What should I call you, though?
Your lordship is fine.
Mega being, please. Yeah, yeah. So I've actually put my name in my comment on the on Mumble. I don't know if that helps anybody, but yeah, I'm Dave Morris of this parish.
John underscore Fallon.
I'm sure I'll forget, but I'll try and remember.
I just find handles too confusing, so the underscore is the closest thing I get to being elite.
I was doing sort of pre-internet things quite early on. In fact, I was starting to put together a show about being involved in the UK academic networking stuff.
Don't waste it, Dave. Don't waste it.
No, I'm not going to say it's vast amounts of stuff, but during that process, I tended to join things and write things using my full name. And so although it's mostly vanished now, there was a time when my name was in lots and lots of forums and that sort of stuff. So I've never really bothered too much about whether it's out there. I might regret that later. But
I tried to compartmentalize, I should say, I guess is the right word, my usernames so you can't, you know, find my other existences online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. That's the way my children work. They're much more sophisticated about this than I am.
Yeah.
Do I see Mr. X there on the channel?
Do you see? Does he have a soldering iron in his one hand?
Hello.
There he is.
And a haggis in the other.
I just thought I'd be.
Sorry.
See what was going on. A haggis? What are you talking about? Like haggis pizza.
Isn't that sheep intestine?
There's such a thing as haggis pizza?
Oh, you've got to try it. It's wonderful.
I don't think I'd be able to find that anywhere around here.
No, I don't suppose you would. The wee company is just up the road that they make some and they sell in the local store, the co-op sometimes. But just a nice wee treat every now and again. It's very nice indeed.
I think it was Papa John's. They had a pizza called a hamburger pizza. That was an interesting experience.
Yeah, sounds very good.
It tasted like a hamburger, but it was just all off because it was the texture was not right.
It's quite amazing what you can put in a pizza, I guess, really. Not sure how long I'll be on here for. The Mrs. X is out there walking the dog, and I'm guessing like it's doing here, it's kind of snowing quite a bit. What's it like? Are you away, Dave?
Yeah, it's snowing here too. It's not that heavy just at this precise moment, but the forecast is snow till early afternoon, and then possibly it's going to turn to rain, which is never the best, because it then turns to ice, most likely, but we'll see.
It's in the 70s all day here.
Where are you at?
Florida.
So pretty much always in the 70s, except for apparently on Christmas. It was, what, in the 30s?
Yeah, it got real cold, but not cold enough for a white Christmas.
I always thought I was born in the wrong country. I really don't like the cold at all. I've been to Vegas once. That was
70s, 21 degrees for the rest of us.
Yeah, I've been to that part of the world too, Las Vegas and that, around that area, the Grand Canyon. And the heat is so dry that it doesn't feel as hot as what I discovered. Whereas I imagine that Florida is very, very humid, and I hate humid heat. That really, really kills me.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the just pure sweat that comes out of you when it's humid out is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like that very much.
If it wasn't so salty, I could probably donate the water to Africa.
I spend a bit of time in Singapore, which is tropical, not far from the equator, and is very humid, one of the highest humidities I've ever encountered. And that, lots of air conditioning, of course, but as soon as you step out into the real world, that humid heat just knocks you flat, or does me anyway. You have to be there for months before you start to adapt to it.
Yeah, when we were in Vegas, we turned up at the hotel. Lovely conditioned bus sort of. And when we stepped out, it was over a carport sort of thing, there was a roof. I said, these bus fumes, it's hot air in your face sort of thing, you know. And I turned the corner and it continued as I was in the open. I thought, wait a minute, that's nothing to do with buses at all. It's just what it's like. I just couldn't believe it.
yeah. We drove, I took my kids there, I say kids there, nearly 30 and nearly 26, but you know what I mean. We went there a few years ago around the area and drove through Arizona a bit as well. And I don't know, I imagine it would grind you down, that sort of very low humidity. It's supposedly not very good for you, the inside of your nose and stuff. I've heard people say that you're more prone to infection, have I understood that right? Through the fact that you're so dry, so your breathing route is your inside of your nose and your throat and stuff gets so dry in that area. Drink vast quantities of water, in my experience. But yeah, I don't know. It's not a place I'd particularly want to live, but more so than in Florida or Singapore.
Yeah, I'm generally always cold. So, you know, I see that there's been cases where I've been on a cycle path and I've seen people wandering about with T-shirts and stuff on and sweat pouring off them. And I've got jumpers and shirts on and I'm still maybe just comfortably warm-ish sort of thing. I'm just seems far colder than anybody else. And I've seen me on holiday, there's a picture of me and the wife and we're sitting on the balcony, pictures taken. It's only when I looked at it subsequently that I can see my face is completely dry and hers is pouring with sweat. So I'm just a cold person naturally. So I can't understand why people drive with their windows down. To me, that just seems utter madness.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm always wearing the same thing, sweatpants in my mountain goat city.
Yeah, I think maybe I definitely the cool weather doesn't agree with me. So as I said before, definitely born in the wrong part of the world. It's a lovely place. Huh? Could you be a wee bit warmer?
I've actually been moving north all my life, so I'm probably going to stay where I am. But I tell you, there was once I went to a conference from Edinburgh in the south of England. I can't remember, Exeter University maybe. And the difference in temperature was amazing to me. Anyway, it seemed really hot and clammy there, and it was pretty much the same weather. It was in the summer, yeah, but maybe spring or something. But it was surprised how many degrees of temperature difference there were between one end of the UK and the other, which is not a very big place. 600 miles, 700 miles maybe between the two, dunno.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because you know, my wife's brother and my brother have both moved down south, and they've definitely forgotten what it's like up here. You know, it's my brother-in-law came up one time, and a couple of Christmases ago, I think it was, and we met in Princess Street, T-shirt on, you know, and I thought, are you mad, you know? And he tends to feel the heat. He always tends to feel a bit on the hot side, which must be really nice. But, you know, obviously, the temperature was such a point, and I think it started to snow as well, that it overcame his natural heat tendencies in his blood or whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, he started shivering and shaking. And I thought, well, you know, if you walk around Princess Street in the middle of Christmas with a T-shirt on, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. When I was a student in Manchester, there was one of the lecturers there who was notorious for the fact that he seemed to run at a higher temperature than everybody else. His thermostat was set wrong, because he would ride, he'd cycle to and from the university, and he would... you just wear a sort of light shirt. In, I guess it was the days when people would wear, you know, a white shirt with rolled up sleeves or something. But he wore that throughout the year. I mean, I think he had some rain wear, but he wasn't bothered by the cold. That was the thing. Everybody remarked on this. How is that possible for a human to do that? he was just constantly hot.
Yeah, and I'm constantly cold. I think my brother-in-law is a bit like that. He's constantly hot as well. I don't know.
Hi, Nell. Hopefully, I'll catch you again.
And it turned that voice.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll come into the settings and see how you turn that off. Yes, my brother-in-law is always too hot. But I don't know whether it's blood circulation. My hands particularly get quite cold as well. But it seems kind of alien to me. I wish I was the other way around, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. You need to move somewhere hot.
I'm always cold, but I feel like if I was always hot, I would have an issue with hydration because I have a massive Diet Coke addiction.
Yes. I'll probably kill you eventually. So.
Yeah, I've heard about the kidney stones. That's what I'm worried about.
That's not a nice thought. No. It's got some funny stuff in it, Coke. It's something called sodium benzoate that is pretty nasty. Oh, and I was getting my car fixed before Christmas, and it's a fuel-injected diesel. And I was saying, and I'd had a problem with it a year or so back where one of the fuel injectors failed. Really expensive fix. But I was saying to the guy who was doing the work this time about it, and he said, yeah, those cost a lot of money because getting the fuel injector out of the engine is really difficult because it sort of seals itself in there because the fuel blows past it as it's failing, and it sort of makes a carbon type sticky stuff around it that glues it in. And he said, in the garage trade, the thing we use to free that off is the answer was Diet Coke. You pour Diet Coke into that part of the engine and it melts the glue that's been created by your engine, and out comes the fuel injector. So there you go.
Oh dear God. What am I doing to myself?
Slowly dissolving.
It's okay. All those insides are overrated anyways. Must be hollow.
I've certainly drunk my share of these sorts of things, but not quite so keen these days, but there you go. Probably drinking something else that's bad for me at the same time. Instead, I mean, of that. Coffee, lots of coffee. I'm not sure that's good.
Good plan, I got some. Bye.
I said I was going to cough. Oop. I said I was going to get a coffee earlier and I ended up with a Monster, which is probably equally bad.
When we were in the States, I'd been listening to a podcast then, and the guy was always talking about how he was drinking a Mountain Dew on his travel. You can get Mountain Dew here. I've never really noticed it, but there's lots and lots of it available in the States. So we bought some. I think we were on the road to getting addicted to that stuff, actually. You know, we all really enjoyed it. But when back here in the UK, it's relatively hard to get and a bit more expensive, I think. So we didn't end up addicted, but it's amazing how easily you could get that way, I think.
Yeah, I had a Mountain Dew once and I didn't like it. I haven't had one since.
Yeah, it probably depends on the context and on who you are or whatever, what it is you like. We quite enjoyed it. I think we were buying the diet one, but just seemed, it's probably because it was the novelty of it.
I was going to say maybe I'll try one, but I think that's a bad idea.
keep clear of these things if you can.
Yeah, I used to drink, I'm sure when I was younger, I drank more juice or fizzy juice or whatever, you know. But I tend to drink, I sort of, the missus got me into drinking tea, and I drank loads and loads. And you get to that age where tea becomes a bit of a problem, so I backed off the tea now. And I'm drinking hot water, and believe it or not, I'm really quite enjoying that. If you can say that, that's okay. But I also drink occasionally a little bit of diluting juice. And that, I mean, that's kind of going back to your childhood. I'm sure in my childhood, I had diluting juice, which you know, kind of mixed water with a little bit of concentrate, you know, like Ribena or whatever. There's probably less. There's less, depending on the concentration you put, there's less sugar in that maybe than there would be in the cola, but. Yeah, it's. I've never been a coffee drinker. That's one thing I've never taken to so far anyway.
I've also drunk hot water. There's times when maybe you just want to drink, but you don't, and it's usually if it's in the cold weather and stuff, and you don't want to take on board the tannins and all the other stuff because it's late at night, perhaps. I've certainly done that, and it's quite palatable actually. I know a few people who do that. But the diluting juices that you get in this part of the world, they a lot of them are low sugar these days, I think. Is there not a Scottish drive to reduce sugar in all these sorts of things at one point? Because I remember them warning in the supermarket, oh, you won't be able to buy this anymore because it's the ruling is that it should contain less than X amount of sugar. So, we yeah, it's something we have partaken in. But the other thing that we tend to drink, I say we, because my kids visit a couple of times a week to eat with me, and there's always a collection of microbrewery or local brewery real ale type beers and stuff. So these are not healthy, but as long as it's only one or two a week, I think it's okay.
Yeah, well, is it not? I think is it not? You get there's extra tax put on high sugary drinks. It's not that you, well, effectively you can't get it, because what happens if you've got two companies producing a similar drink, then if one just dips below it, then it's substantially cheaper. So it then encourages all the other manufacturers to do likewise. But it's not that it's technically banned, I think. It's just that, I could be wrong, I think that's what it is, because remember they call it the sugar tax. But you're right, that, and of course, obviously, that's, in my opinion, it's probably a good thing in the long term.
Yeah, it's
interesting. You see, they're going to comment on what it was. But, oh, well, there you go. That's my age, I guess, my mind going again.
Because I'm of the age where I have type 2 diabetes. It often happens above a certain age and stuff, if you're not looking after yourself well enough, I guess. But one of the recommendations I got when I was diagnosed with that 10 years or so ago was to drink these diluting juices, the ones with the low sugar. So, I think medically they're seen as quite desirable things. They have to watch out for the sweeteners they put in them, because those can have rather unpleasant effects.
Yeah, yeah. We've also gone, I think I maybe mentioned this before, we're to 80-90% vegetarian now, and it was more my wife's choice, really. I've been really enjoying it. I thought the meals would be quite bland, but loads of flavour. I guess it depends, you know, the blends of spices such like you add to it as a trick, I guess. Really.
Yeah, it's we did talk about this, I think, you and I, when we were chatting one time, and it's a thing that's quite popular in my household, because my son and his girlfriend are both vegetarian. My daughter's sort of semi-vegetarian, and I'm pretty easygoing about that. So yeah, we have a lot of vegetarian meals, in fact. So in fact, I'm feeding them tonight, and we're having ratatouille, which is already made, and then put it into wholemeal flour, buckwheat flour pancakes, and then you roll them up, put them in the oven with a bit of cheese on top, and they're not vegan, so they eat cheese. But that's pretty nice, pretty nice meal.
Of course, I say that, but that I could just see Mrs. X and good companion by our side, so I'll need to go. But after saying all that, I noticed that there was some maybe three or four pink sausages sitting on the bunker top. So I'm guessing we're not having a meat-free meal today at some point. But I remember the World Health Organization classifies a sausage as damaging to your health as a cigarette. So there's something to think about when I'm having my sausage tonight. But, I'll speak to you all later.
Nice to hear you.
Yeah.
See you, Mr. X. Happy New Year.
Bye, everybody.
Cheers. Yeah.
Night.
I thought he'd never leave.
Oh, you know, I just realized after all of that talk, I actually do have a bottle of, what do you call it, unflavored seltzer that I am drinking, so I'm not completely unhealthy.
That's good, that's good.
Should have come up with that before saying I only drink Diet Coke, but I guess we're past that now.
I tend to drink rooibos or red bush tea. Doesn't have any of the tannins and stuff.
Yeah, there was a time, though, where that was a really popular drink around here. Alexander McCall Smith, the author, who's an Edinburgh guy.
Hi.
You know his, what's it called? The Ladies
Number One Ladies Detective
Agency.
That's the one,
yeah, Botswana. He was pushing, no, he wasn't pushing it, but it was mentioned a lot, and his books were very, very popular at the time. It was a TV series and stuff. That seemed to trigger something with the supermarkets, because the rooibos tea was quite common, and I certainly drank it. It's nice. It's pretty nice.
Yep. There was a series, TV series was very well done, and I got the books, and I must say he lost the plot a little bit, became a bit of a cash cow, which is a pity, because I like the idea of solving little mysteries.
Yeah. There were some of them that were really, really great. I read all that were available at the time, but then I sort of, it was one sort of an enthusiasm that you get bored with eventually. I don't know whether that was me or him, but...
I think he just got very lectury and started the book, like we're at the last, at the 18th book now, and really I just couldn't finish it because very preachery and, all I could see was that a Scottish guy pretending to be a Scottish guy lecturing me as opposed to a character in Botswana. That's kind of, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yes.
And I don't need another Scottish guy lecturing me.
Do they do that? That's dreadful. McCall Smith has actually organised a thing in Edinburgh called the Really Terrible Orchestra. I think it was his idea, and it's a bunch of musicians who are sort of in training. Some of them are quite advanced with their training. They're pretty good, in other words. But the orchestra is called the Really Terrible Orchestra, and there have been a few shows. I think they've been abroad in the past to give performances.
And why are they really terrible?
I think it's a joke on the fact that there were a few people who were, none of them are professional musicians. They're all amateur musicians, and some of them were learning at the time, so they would make a few mistakes along the way. It was just his humor, I guess. But my friend Tom, who I know you've met him at Fosdem. He's a cellist in that orchestra. I've been to a few of their performances. They're actually pretty good. They're not perfect, but they're damn good. I was hoping to meet McCall Smith, but wasn't on duty that day. Yeah, check them out. I think they have a website. Not sure how busy they are these days. Not much, I would imagine.
I've been thinking. I watched like almost all of Mr. Robot. How many of y'all watch that show anyways? Because I know it's more popular in like techie communities.
I think I have the last season to go. But there was three seasons, right?
Four.
Four, okay. I think I still have just like the last season to go.
I was just wondering. It's a really good show to me. I don't know how much it fits into y'all.
I'm afraid I'm one of these people who has abandoned television totally and all other of the popular media, so it's a closed book as far as I'm concerned. Sorry.
Yeah, more or less the same here, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who don't watch TV and stuff anymore. It's just not as common for people to watch television.
I think it was the Heroes series, because I like science fiction, and Heroes was a sort of sci-fi thing. I think watching that, whenever that was, some number of years ago. The series progressed. There was obviously no plan whatsoever. It was just some ideas that were thrown around and just sort of randomly spewed out, cleverly done and stuff. Good effect, but no story. It was a huge disappointment. I mean, then that's after coming through like Twin Peaks. I watched all of Twin Peaks years and years ago, and just. It was one of those things you come out of and go, why the hell did I just watch that? It's such crap. And, it's that. And I know American television may be worse, but British television is pretty grim on that front as well. Plus, also, reality TV makes me want to vomit. So yeah, I'm happier away from it, to be honest.
Well, Heroes seem to have like a plan for like that first season and then not much afterwards. Or if they did, like they make a plan for that season, but it's not like one grand scheme.
It was like they had said, right, we're going to have this thread and this thread and this thread. We're not quite sure where they're going to go, but they're going to be great. And then they got so far and said, all right, we're bored now. We can't be bothered to write the rest of it. Or somebody in management said, no, you're spending too much, or some nonsense like that. You know, it wasn't as if there was an overall structure. I know people write books that way. You know, they let them develop as they go. But you shouldn't be taking them to the public until they're finished. That's my view. But I think the way the TV model works is that you just get enough that you can put it out there, and then hopefully you get another chance to add some more to it. So, you know, it's, I mean, Doctor Who. Dora and I used to watch Doctor Who quite assiduously when it came back again. I saw the early ones because I'm that old. But we were really excited with it. We both enjoyed it a lot. And then it also went into one of these, now we're going to wheel in a new writer now, and he doesn't believe in the stuff that the previous writer did. So, you know, it just gets more and more ragged and silly, and I just haven't got the patience anymore.
Reboots. I hate reboots.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think the last...
That's because of the shows having new writers, or do you because the shows are more funding?
It's because the franchise doesn't allow them legally to refer to the content of the previous owner, blah, 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 so they have to reboot it.
I guess it's time to welcome to the new year to Funafuti, I guess, and somewhere in Russia. So happy new year somewhere in Russia.
Don't know if we have a very strong Russian listening base, but...
Anadar.
Marshall Islands also, and some other places.
Hopefully the new year really is happy.
Yeah, they would know by now.
I find there's been a lot of shows where they seem to have a plan for like the first season, like a really good solid plan for the first season, and then everybody likes it, and then they go, okay, now what the heck do we do for the rest of the season, for the rest of the episodes after that?
Yeah. Oh no, they've given us a go for another series, what the hell do we do?
Right.
Run around, headless chickens, ah! It's, yeah, it's true. It's really bad when you think about it, though, because they must have some really powerful people with good ideas, with great sort of abilities to make stories, because they have done it already. And then is it that they're just not getting proper support, that they have to proffer what they're doing to some bunch of accountants or something who say, no, we can't do that? Is that what kills it? Because it's pretty dreadful when you look back. I mean, what was it? Firefly. That was a classic case of cold feet destroying the thing, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. Well, at least they got to make the movie and wrap up the series, which is more than other shows.
Mm-hmm.
People of Earth was actually a good series, and then it just stopped on a cliffhanger.
I think,
but apparently that's why they're doing. They get a contract for one season, and then they write in big cliffhangers so that the people who watch the show start complaining if the show doesn't come back on, and that plays a part into whether it gets funding or not. The amount of social media buzz about the show.
Yeah, but which kind of sucks because, you know, yep, ratings aren't everything. I think the last season of the show is either always really good or really bad, and there's no in between. I don't think I've ever seen a mediocre ending. Well, that's not true. Yeah, I have. But
which
I think
was?
Last...
Which show was that?
Good ending? You know, yeah. I think the last great show that I've seen will be Breaking Bad and Mr. Robot, I guess. But like a mediocre show... I think Dexter. Everyone gives it a bad rap, but I don't think it was that bad, but it definitely wasn't great.
Picard had a mediocre ending.
Is that over now?
I hope so.
I stopped watching Star Trek franchise on the first intro to Discovery, where they skipped over Yuri Gagarin. Okay, that destroys Gene Roddenberry's legacy right there.
It's weird with Star Trek. It just seems like it's a very, you know, each week is something completely different, where we've kind of, it seems like in some shows we've kind of evolved into telling a grander story.
Star Trek was a commentary on pop culture and current events. Every episode related to something that was happening then. And it was either a satirical take or a serious take on what was going on at the time, and there was relevant each episode, something, some emotional, political, or world event that was happening at the time. And from the original series through later series, they kept up with that for the most part until they got away from that and decided, hey, let's just tell stories.
That's the point of science fiction, is to take stuff out of, to reflect on the current state of society, which is why I think that, the Orville is more Star Trek than the current Star Trek.
Love the Orville.
It is brilliant.
Did the newer episodes ever make it to Hulu? Because I know it was supposed to be taken off of Fox and then just put only on Hulu.
Doesn't ABC own Hulu?
Well, technically Disney owns Hulu, which I think also... Well, do they own ABC or CBS?
Disney owns ABC.
Okay, then yes. Actually, I think from what I remember, Disney basically just owns a controlling share of Hulu, and they were going to slowly buy out the other companies who also had a share in it.
If Disney owns Hulu and they also run their own service, obviously Disney Plus, that is just, I don't like that.
Well, Disney Plus is something completely different. Disney Plus is kind of like their, where they have all of their animated stuff for kids, their Marvel and Star Wars stuff. While Hulu is more of, since they now own Fox, it's a lot of their Fox stuff, Fox-affiliated stuff, their ABC stuff, their Freeform stuff that isn't... directly related to, or you know something that isn't directly Disney.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. I just, you know, don't like having to pay for all the streaming services. Well, I don't, but the idea of
download it.
I do. I usually pirate most things except for Netflix and my music.
So my issue with Disney is Disney likes to segment all of their stuff apart, and they also rate or flow control. They like to rate or flow control their content. So, for example, Beauty and the Beast came out in like 1995, and then in 2005 you couldn't buy it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I think.
I think the copyright law should be amended so that you lose your copyright if it's a piece of material is not available to the public at a affordable cost.
And I think copyright just needs to not last as long as it does.
Yeah, that too. But in this case, you would solve that Disney issue, and you would also solve a lot of the issue whereby media is getting the copyright still exists, but the media for the thing that's been copyrighted has gone, degraded. There was a time that if you wanted to copyright a work, that you needed to submit the physical artifact to three different locations in order to get your copyright, so that when it goes out of copyright, then society has a copy of the thing that we were giving you the monopoly on. Orphaned works is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Speaking of copyright, my all-time favorite copyright screw-up was Charades, or Charade.
How so?
Yes.
I think it's a 1960s film with Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant, and it's in the public domain because somebody screwed up the trademark.
That's Shaun of the Dead did that, or not Shaun of the Dead, but Dawn of the Dead had the same thing. They forgot to put in the copyright thing at the end, and then it became into the public domain, which is why zombies are so copyrightable. Or so, there are so many zombie movies versus why there are so few Frankenstein movies.
Is Frankenstein still under copyright? That's like really old. Jesus.
You're never going to see anything that was written in your lifetime come out of copyright ever. That is a thing that will never happen again.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Unless something radical happens soon. Be right back.
Copyright is a horrible thing. And then to add to copyright, all the entertainment things being used for marketing purposes to sell other things is also horrible.
Yeah, Star Wars, for instance. That third one was just an advertisement waiting to happen. Okay, I gotta drop off and do some work. I'll talk to you guys later.
It's a shame you have to work on the new year.
I can.
Where are y'all at?
Well, I'm in Edinburgh, Scotland.
I'm in New Brunswick, Canada.
Is it snowing where you are?
No, sir.
sure.
Just have
Sorry.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure how I feel about snow, because I am from the Midwest. I've just lived in Florida quite a while, and I'm kind of over it, but I kind of want to see it again.
We just had a few days of snow here. It's just stopped snowing, actually. It's great to see all the kids getting so excited about it. There's a number of hills around here, and they all sled down them and stuff. But, yeah, for people of my vintage, we hate the cold and the prospect of falling over and breaking something. Not good.
So it's not just people of your vintage. People of all vintages hate that.
Depends how, yeah. How steady you are on your feet, I imagine.
My balance is not the best, so I definitely don't like ice.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.